Hello, people and robot overlords of the future. This is Podcast Lost in Games, Episode 3. A very, very nice episode because 3 is the number that when multiplied twice equals my lucky number, which is 9. And now you know that. So, enjoy! This episode we wanted to focus on elements of story and gameplay. Originally, it was going to start out as a episode where we kind of talk about narrative and games and what keeps us enthralled based on story and character, but then it just totally derails and becomes how gameplay and story interact and what we will put up with as far as a really dumb story in order to just get to the really good gameplay, which for me, I provide a great example with Hitman Absolution. Brian, he will talk about Dragon Age Inquisition and how the story of that is not enough to keep him going, even though that's one of those games where people have put in as many hours as I have put into Fallout. Enjoy this episode. We have 3 guests joining me today. It is the ever so funny Brian Whiting from previous episode. Then we also have Taryn Gendro, a good friend of mine, former co-worker, also a big enthusiast into story and narrative. He's a reader, as I would say. He knows how to read those words on pages. Then also joining me is the owner and founder, CEO, president, and dictator of Shiro Cosmetics, Caitlin Johnstone. So, this episode is brought to you by Shiro Cosmetics. Please go to shirocosmetics.com to get all your gamer cosmetic needs. Do you need a League of Legends eyeshadow? Then go to Shiro Cosmetics. Do you want a Mockingjay nail polish? Then go to Shiro Cosmetics. Do you want Sherlock Holmes contouring powder? I think you know where to go, because the answer is Shiro Cosmetics. Enjoy the show, everybody.
All right, we're starting now. Okay, we're gonna start it out. But the funny thing that I've heard is that if you try and cut people in line or do anything that's like, no, I'm just gonna be in front of this line. It's like, if anyone reacts to you like, dude, what are you doing? You just go, no, it's okay. And they go, oh, okay.
Oh, he says it's okay.
So yeah. It's okay. And then you just do that. And apparently, like, I've met people that have tried this, and they're like, yeah, it works.
I've done that shit.
Like, you just go, and then it's like, dude,
it's okay.
It's okay.
Dude, it's
okay.
If you cut somewhere in line, just go like,
yeah, it's okay.
Dude, trust me, I got this.
Hey, don't worry about it.
I got this.
Hey, just don't worry about it, sir.
All right, so what kind of made me want to talk about story and narrative is in the last podcast with me and Brian, we were talking about Fallout, and you know about my Fallout experience with Paladin Dance, where it's like I chose to work with I chose to go with the Institute because the Brotherhood of Steel made me kill Paladin Dance.
Pivotal moment in gaming. I don't think I've ever heard of a story of someone playing a game where they turned on a dime so quickly after an event in-game occurred to you. I was like, wow, really? That shaped your decisions?
I was going to say, it constructed my own narrative for this character. I'm like, these people made me kill my best friend.
You motherfuckers!
They brainwashed Paladin Dance to tell
you
to do it.
Yeah, and it's like, he wouldn't let me free him. It's like, there's ways that we can fake this. You could be on your own, but it's like, nope, no, you have to kill
me.
It's gotta happen. If you don't kill me, I'm gonna kill myself. And it's like, jeez. And so, I want to talk about story and narrative out of the fact that it's like, Fallout 4 has its own, but it leaves so many elements that allow you to kind of construct your own and just play with the form in your own way. And then, we also know of just terrible games that have awful storylines that I just don't care about. Taryn and I have had in-depth discussions about Hitman Absolution. The worst plot I've ever had.
So, I played like one Hitman game, don't know what game it was, had the worst time ever, and never played another Hitman game again.
Was it an old one or a new one?
It was an older one. I think it was on PS2. I want to say PS2.
Probably not.
All I know is I played the first mission. I played the first mission, and there was some fat dude with a minigun or something behind a door that I couldn't get behind. And
definitely
I was like,
not Bloodlines.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I don't know what this is. So I like walked around, nobody to kill, pulled out my gun, everybody starts shooting at me. People I didn't even know were there. I don't know what the fuck happened. I quit. I was like, this game sucks. I was probably way too young to play a game like that, but I was like, fuck this. I'm signing off the franchise forever. I watch the B-list movies and that's it. Other than that, I'm not supporting the franchise.
You'll watch a shaved head Timothy Oliphant.
Right, but I'm but I am not going to be that shaved head assassin. I'm not doing it. I can't be him.
Game's terrible. That's more of a comment on gameplay. But
we'll
cut that out.
We're coming back to it. There's no storyline to sink me into this game. Never.
Wait until you hear about the Hitman Absolution storyline.
So what is the Hitman Absolution storyline?
Okay, so the Hitman Absolution storyline.
Why is it notoriously bad?
Because every character, they're like, all right, we have these characters, we have these moments. What can we do with these characters to make them unique? Well, let's make them overtly sexualized. All they ever think about is sex, and everyone does dumb things for no reason.
High school, the movie game.
So every, there's an assassin that is crazy, and when he dies, he talks about why he has wood at the moment. He's like, why?
What?
That's literally his last words.
What?
That's when he quit the game.
Yeah, and that's
the first time.
No, because the next time I quit the game, I'll get to that point. Then there's a bunch of non-assassins, and then people already blew up about this, because there was a bunch of non-assassins that were in S&M outfits. They were like S&M nuns.
So they can't, you can't be nuns in S&M outfits and be assassins. You can't, it's like a Venn diagram. And you're not going to be
exactly.
You gotta pick two. No
connect
more.
The circles.
You can't. Yeah, one. You can be an S&M and nunnery. You can't be an assassin. You can be an assassin and S&M. No nuns. There's limitations.
So
I know this. Listen, this is my expertise.
There's two villains that both have secretaries that just wear revealing outfits. Then there's another guy who's hired, who's a sheriff of.
Jesus, the economy is booming in this storyline. Everybody,
they all have jobs.
They all there are assistants. That none of them wearing clothes.
Yeah. So
there's a bunch of assassins. Everybody's killing everybody. Yeah. Apparently.
And so the sheriff, he's also into S&M. He has an assistant as well.
What?
Who's also wearing like a skin tight outfit and like whips him and does all
that's
that.
That's how he's introduced.
A municipal position? This is state government. You can't do that.
So
that's a government salary.
Right. The moment where I quit the game was when
you're still playing.
The gameplay's really good. Okay. Really good gameplay. I honestly stopped playing the story after this one moment where they have a meeting. Because there's this person who is a clone, and she is by design a killing machine. Like her genetic material, that's at least a decent kind of sci-fi storyline.
So,
it's like,
how many X-Men were in this movie or game? Excuse me, this Hitman game. Because it seems real, not true.
Agent 47 is also a clone. He was like the first success story to this.
Okay, I thought they were just like kids that they were.
He's the poster child.
You ever seen the movie Soldier? That like 1980s, 1990s movie Soldier?
No.
Dude gets his eye ripped out, keeps going. Doesn't matter. Anyway.
Okay. Unless you're talking about Universal Soldier. Great tangent.
Every 15 minutes do that. Have you seen Tremors?
It doesn't matter.
You guys ever seen Panic Room?
Good move. Hey, he's got Forrest Whitaker with the crazy eyes. I'm gonna get in that room.
David Forrest Whitaker.
Give me a garden hose and a propane tank. I'm getting in this Panic Room. That's the movie. Literally Panic Room, the movie.
I just got the one man show. Panic Room.
That's it. That's all you need. And then the main actor. What is her name? Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
Where's the insulin? Because your daughter's got like diabetes and needs insulin the whole movie too. It's a race against time.
So the
it's a race against time.
This podcast is going to be a race against time if I don't explain what is bad about it.
Just throwing monkey wrenches in. Go ahead. Okay.
Where I clicked the gate, there's a meeting between two of the villains.
Everybody's got boners. Everyone's wearing leather.
One person has the clone girl, and the other team, they're the agency.
Are teams?
Yeah, there are sides.
There are sides.
You shouldn't be surprised by that.
Line in the sand. People are decisions are being made.
And what happens is
bridges are being burned.
They're like, all right, show us, give us the money, and we'll give you the girl. And they're like, we didn't bring the money. We can't
to bluff it, dude.
We didn't bring the money.
There's no money.
And then he's like, well, get the money. He's like, it's above my head. I was like, you're a secret organization. It shouldn't be above your head at all.
Everything is
above
everyone's head.
You're the head of this organization. You say it, and it happens. Why? And then so what happens is they bring someone out dressed in the same outfit, and then they shoot her in the head. And she had, like, a bag on her head, like, saying, yeah, we just killed your clone girl, so, because you didn't bring the money. They're like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, pull the bag off. Nope, not the clone girl. Just and then they're
like, okay, yeah. Again, with the bluffing, do we not know how this works? Wait for the money to appear. Okay.
And then he's like, okay, well, stop screwing around. Gives him a briefcase, which apparently has the money in it, and then he brought it to the meeting and said he didn't have the money.
What are we doing here?
Like, and I watched this, and I'm like, this is too dumb. So I don't care how good the gameplay is, this is too dumb.
I imagine that it's one dude going across the table every time they're playing the other person. Where's the money? I don't have the money. I killed your clone girl. No, you didn't. Yeah, no, I didn't. Where's the money? Right here. What is going on?
Basically, nothing happened.
Yeah, so nothing occurred.
Yeah, nothing happened. And so, essentially, that's one point that I want to talk about, is how these bad stories can actually exist, and how bad stories can ruin our experience in a video game, whereas, I don't know, just let's talk about shit like that.
Whereas really good stories make the game.
Yeah, really good stories
make the game. You know what? I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack for, so I'll throw it out right now just to start that powder keg. Dragon Age Inquisition was that way for me. Horrible storyline in my mind.
Really?
Just, like, there's a storyline that you can make epic, and then there's a storyline that starts with such a slow trickle that I don't want to wait for any kind of story to become. Like, I played for, like, 30, 40 hours, and I just got out of the starting area. I was like, fuck this, I'm done. I don't want to learn how to build a garden in my castle. I don't want to fucking... not trying to walk around and do these missions, these quests that are all the same. I'm done, I'm out. So I just, like, quit, like, real early. But that game was just so drawn out. I love the storyline of Dragon Age. I love the first two games. I couldn't get into it. I could not get into
it. So was it more of the story or the gameplay?
Well, so that's the thing. The gameplay wasn't redeeming enough to make the storyline worth it for me. The storyline was... It was one of those things where, like, okay, I've seen the evil big bad guy. I see what you're trying to do. Where, like, I thought I knew the problem, and now I know I don't know the problem at all. Like, I get what you're trying to do, but can we speed it up a little? Because I've gone through two of the same areas that are essentially, like, find these five locations, do these, like, four quests or whatever, kill these four things, and then go to a new area and do the same thing. Hey, look through this little stethoscope or this telescope and put some fucking stars together. Okay, great, do it over here, too. And it's like, okay, now go back to your castle, plant some stuff in a garden. I don't want to do any of this. Like, none of it seemed redeeming enough to make the storyline. Yeah. I would rather go on YouTube and just watch somebody play the storyline, so I could just watch the story and get that.
Yeah, and see,
it's a better movie.
And that's the thing with, like, Fallout 4, a lot of people would probably say, it's like, well, you put this much time into Fallout 4. All those things that are really annoying in Dragon Age are totally optional.
Right, they're completely optional, and they were like, that was the game of Dragon Age.
Exactly.
Like, there wasn't anything else to it.
Yeah, and for Fallout 4, they teach you all of that in one mission, and you can drop that mission at any moment. You don't have to do it. Yeah.
Right.
I'm, like, 65 hours in, and I just now beat that mission.
Right,
mission. The Sanctuary mission, where they teach you, oh, here's how you build crops, here's how you build weapons, here's how you build this and that. All the simple stuff of just, like, building a settlement, which can be a major thing for certain players, but for me, I was just like, no, I'm gonna go be an adventurer and dispense justice across
and
the wasteland.
Stuff.
Yeah. Well, like Fallout, I told you last week, this is, like, I play hypocritically when I play video games.
Yeah.
I immediately in Fallout did all of those tedious things and just grinded out all of that stuff. Because just to build up, so it wasn't like I was behind when I was playing through the storyline. Like, I had a good base to always go to and, like, had a bunch of stuff. Yeah. And so it was like, while I said, to me, the difference is Fallout was fun to do it. Like, when I went to Dragon Age, it was all like, okay, here's a bear, there's a couple of demons, I don't know, go kill this dude. Like, it just seemed like the same repetitive things, whereas Fallout, like you mentioned before, there's just so much detail in it that it was like, I want to go to this house because I don't know who lived here. I want to find out who lived here.
There were two locations that were the same.
Right, so it's interesting to go to those places, and those tedious things aren't actually that tedious because you're just exploring stuff and, like, finding out about, like, someone's history or whatever.
As well as Bethesda, I've heard them in interviews before where they're like, we want to make each location have its own story.
Right.
Where it's like, you can walk in and just by the way that certain things are laid out or by the way certain skeletons are there, you can piece together a story.
Right.
Yeah.
That was really cool, where Dragon Age does a lot of that, but it's like four paragraphs of reading.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they'll tell you a whole story on some scroll that you found in the woods, and it's like, I don't know, dude.
That's...
Like,
Lord of the Rings books.
Yeah, that might be that might be the concept.
That's a totally different podcast.
And with wildlife views.
It's almost too detailed where it's like in the storyline aspect where it's like, okay, this is a book and a great movie. This is a great series of books and a great movie. I don't want to play the game. It's not interesting enough for me to play the game of it.
Well, that might be the contrast out of the fact that Bethesda leaves it open for your imagination to kind of piece it, a lot of the things together, which is how I play a lot, is right. I just kind of play off of what's happening around me and develop my own story. Whereas with Dragon Age, they work so hard on developing a whole different universe with different lore and different species and doing all this that they're like, oh, we need to lay it all out for people.
Right.
Because imagination is going to be way too intense, I guess, for certain people.
I can't handle it.
Yeah. What are some of the best stories in video games, and how does the gameplay kind of compare with those?
Mass Effect 1 and 2. And 95% of 3.
Do you really hate the ending of Mass Effect 3? Yeah. Are you serious?
Oh my God. I tried to do a podcast about endings, and the guest that was on it, we ended up talking about the ending of Mass Effect 3 for about 45 minutes.
Whenever I start talking about the ending to Mass Effect 3, I just get really angry.
Okay.
And then I want to drink and like... get some tequila just to calm myself down. Yeah. So let's steer away from the Mass Effect 3.
The thing is, it's like, for me, I couldn't finish Mass Effect 1. I can definitely... I know I'm told to just jump into 2, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
But I can't... And I want to finish 1. Like, the fact that I don't have that... I can do that beginning chapter, and choosing not to, it, like, ruins my brain. So,
It just ruins my brain.
It just hurts. I get headaches, and I need to take pills.
The cold sweats. Don't worry about it.
I have tequila.
Yeah, there you go.
I have a rifle of tequila out there.
I saw that.
Rifle of tequila.
It's like a 2-foot-tall, like, glass rifle of tequila that my brother got me for my 21st birthday. Yeah, dude.
Nice.
I don't drink enough to hate that.
Have you seen Tremors?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
What do you guys think of Battlestar Galactica? Yeah? Good show? Good show. Alright, so the thing with Mass Effect 1 is the gameplay is really hard to kind of trudge through in order to get those story
points. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
So,
it's difficult to get
and into. Boy, you get on that Space Forerunner thing. The Mako. That's what's... Oh my god!
It's really hard to get through.
Really, really difficult to get through those Mako portions.
Yeah.
To get to the same base in every different mission with someone yelling, I'm going to kill you!
Right, exactly right.
The same voice.
The same.
Yeah. I will destroy you!
And there's so much cargo. There's just like crates everywhere when you get inside. Yeah, everyone was everywhere. Moving, yeah. There's so much... Again, the economy just is booming.
I felt like a warehouse worker.
And they build them in weird, like, Tetris mazes. Like, it's really weird. They, like, sort out
a little... Who the fuck designed this?
Yeah, they're like, listen, someone is going to come in, like, this weird 18-wheeled beast, and they're going to shoot at us. We need to get some defenses. All we have is crates. Let's do it. But yeah, it was difficult to get through in order to see the storyline of Mass Effect 1.
Absolutely. But so, I would
argue it's definitely worth it. Because Mass Effect 1 story is... really good.
Yeah, solid. That's what I hear. Is that the ending to Mass Effect 1 is like a really good ending to a game.
Yeah,
it is. It's a very satisfying, like, good ending to a game.
I think one of my favorite game of all time is the perfect blend of, in my opinion, the perfect blend of story and gameplay, which is The Last of Us.
Yep.
The Last of Us, the first...
This is my silent part of the portion of the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dragon Age is mine.
And so, for Last of Us, what I think is amazing is the fact that they have... a gameplay that fits that world that they constructed super well, as well as literally the best story that I've ever played in it's such an amazing experience, and I've played the opening like 10 different times and it still just almost makes me cry every single time. It's so emotionally taxing. It's emotionally taxing a lot, but the way they develop characters and doing all this, and it's super hypocritical of me because I stopped watching Game of Thrones because of how depressing it is.
Yeah.
But I am willing to play this super depressing game.
I put myself through this 10 times.
Yeah. But it is... And that's the thing. It's the combo of story and gameplay that really makes it. And if it had any less of a good plot than it does, it wouldn't be my favorite game of all time. It's that story that makes it this really key piece of art, in my opinion.
What were... when they run into the...
Clickers?
No, the guy and his son. What were their names?
Oh, jeez.
Clinton Eastwood.
Butch and Sundance.
Anyway, so the kid, remember how he picks up the toy in the supermarket?
Yeah.
And his dad goes, you can't have that.
It's his brother, older brother.
It's his older brother, yeah, that's right, it's his older brother. Mm-hmm. And he says, you can't have that, and it's the kid puts it back on the ground.
Yeah.
You know how Ellie gives it back to him?
Yeah.
That's gameplay, is when the guy drops it, the kid drops it. And Ellie's standing by the toy, and if you walk away, and you turn, you can see her pick it up.
Oh, wow.
It's that type of minute detail in gameplay that transforms the story. They didn't have to have her pick it up.
Yeah.
And she will only pick it up if you turn away and don't look.
Yeah.
You don't even see her pick it up, but they still put that in there. Mm-hmm. And you can catch it if you turn away really quickly. It's that minute detail that's...
Right. Yeah, they have all sorts of crazy details like that out of the fact that even when you're playing as Ellie... there's a portion of the game where you shift over to her. You can go through her backpack and you can find that toy truck in there.
Wow.
Yeah, and you can find notes from her mom back in the day.
That's great. And just that's awesome.
All sorts of different things. Yeah. Like they constructed this ultimate narrative through this video game. They're like, we want to tell this amazing story, even though the story of this game changed several times. I've heard of tons of deleted stuff that they left on the cutting room floor and all that. Yeah. But there's something about just we want to tell a story. That's the main focus of the game. It's not we're going to deliver the best gameplay or doing all that. Granted, they capitalize on delivering great gameplay. They're like, we're going to tell the best story we can. Technically, it's a zombie apocalypse video game, but never would I call it a zombie apocalypse video game. That's the kind of thing. It's like
gross.
It never comes to mind as a zombie game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, as a person who's never played it, I don't think of it as a zombie. I know enough about the storyline. I think that's
a real testament to the writing and the story. Right. You don't think it's a zombie thing. Right. You think it's a survival. A survival.
Almost horror.
See, the weird thing is, I want to play that game because of the multiplayer. I've seen great videos online of the multiplayer. A lot of great games.
Yeah. Because that's another thing I wanted to bring up is multiplayer, out of the fact that Battlefront has been getting a lot of flack for not having any sort of story mode.
Or game of any kind.
Yeah, it's...
Battlefront is the kind of game that you used to get with the purchase of a magazine when the PlayStation was out.
Ooh.
Yeah, when the PlayStation 1 was out.
Or it was Burger King game?
Exactly, like the Burger King game. Exactly. It is like, this is a lot of fun, where's the rest of the game?
Yeah.
How do I play the rest of it?
I haven't played. I played it once at a friend's house and I had a decent time.
I think
playing it once is great.
It took me an hour, maybe two, to play literally every game. Like every possible kind of game.
Really?
It's not a lot. I may have skipped the ones that I'd done in the demo, in the beta, the Hoth conquest one, but other than that, it doesn't take a lot of, it's like, there's three or four maps, or six maps, I think, total, and then the single player stuff, the only story portion of it is the tutorial. Other than that, I tried playing with my friend when he came over, and it's all one versus one. Yeah. And you have computers on the side, but it really is not that. It's all right, we put 20 minutes of this, we're done.
Yeah. And see, the thing is that's not the only game to get flack for not having a story, because Titanfall was another console game. And
Destiny.
Thank you, Destiny.
Destiny lost me as a customer because of their story.
I don't know what Bungie spent so much time on that they couldn't include a story, but...
They cut a lot of the story out.
Why is that? Thing.
Because they want money.
Because I think they had to cut it to make it teen.
Oh.
It's there were certain things in it that was going to make it a hard M. Or this is all speculation. I think I read this somewhere. Or heard it on a different podcast that gets more views than mine. But there was something I read that was there was a lot happening, as well as they're even dealing with a lawsuit through... music rights, because they fired Michael Connell or something like that. There's some sort of there's all
so
this.
They messed up, and I get to suffer for it every time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, awesome. That's all. I'm just
hence why there were because there was a giant there was a giant delay before its release because they were getting closer to the deadline, and then they had to push it back. And I heard somewhere that it was most likely due to story. That they had to rewrite everything.
I honestly wouldn't have been so upset if they didn't so blatantly and abruptly give you a fuck you to the face at the end of that story. Where they tell you, where the lady, that weird chick goes, she literally tells you, I don't have enough time to explain what I don't have enough time to explain or whatever. And it's like, okay, you literally just told me you didn't have enough time to make a storyline in your game and that I get to pay for it when it gets finished up. Like, why would I want to buy the second version of that game? I don't want to get part two. I'm not getting
out and bought anything. I have not tested Taken King.
No, I maxed out like the level on the first, like I played, I think Vault of Glass was the only one I played through. Other than that, it was just, yeah.
Wow.
So Titanfall was one thing that I wanted to bring up. Out of the fact that it also did not have any sort of... It didn't have a real campaign. The campaign was just more multiplayer.
Yeah. Right,
it was just,
right.
It was just like, oh, we're going to have some cutscenes that you can ignore while you're shooting.
While games. You're playing your game,
Now's a good time to check your phone.
That was the only time that like you could play a single-player game and play through the campaign and get the shit kicked out of you every game, every mission. Yeah. You could lose every mission.
And be totally
fine. And be fine.
Yeah. And
you cry for a little bit, but
right.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that they tried to have a story, but it was essentially just useless. But no one really cared about that. Like, people still played it at least for a good 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I thought Titanfall was great. I lost myself in that, and I'm not a multiplayer kind of guy. I lost myself in that multiplayer. Great gameplay, fantastic. Yeah, and I really wanted a story. I was like, if this has a story,
right,
like an actual campaign mode, that would be fantastic. Well, I would be all over
it. And they had both methods of transportation. Like, you could walk around. You could have missions that were on foot and missions that were in a Titan or Vital, you know, have like a mixture of the two. Yeah, I mean, like, it seemed like it was a game that would take a story really well, and they just didn't
absolutely
really
but they didn't get absolutely. They didn't get tons of flack for it, though. For Battlefront, they're getting a shit ton of flack. And realistically, just now thinking of it, it's like, why didn't they double down and kind of do a Republic Commando storyline? Where you're playing as like a stormtrooper or a resistance fighter.
Oh, just do the same thing Titanfall did? And put the storyline in multiplayer?
No, not even just multiplayer. It's like you do like a Call of Duty campaign, but you call it like, oh, this is Republic Squadron mode.
Right, sure.
And you play as a stormtrooper doing all that. No multiplayer, and they totally have the ability to do that.
Absolutely.
They tried that with survival mode. There was survival mode.
Oh, yeah.
But without the story, but they had the non-multiplayer aspect to it.
Right,
you can play it by yourself.
You can play it by yourself
and
like somebody else, yeah.
And to be fair, I mean, what really bums me out about Battlefront is that they took what was originally a very unique and cool idea and very, you know...
The game was done. Battlefront 3 was done.
Yeah.
Have you seen the clips of Battlefront 3? The game was...
Back in 2005 or something.
Yeah, LucasArts said, well, we don't have enough money to even advertise it, so we're not going to finish it. It was in final QA. Like, they were done.
Wow.
And the gameplay footage they released was you doing a space battle from ship to ship where you can, like, land in and, like, blow up their ship, whatever, like, which was part one game type in the... Which was
awesome.
A ton of fun, like
I
one of the best games
that.
Ever.
Yeah.
Then he like someone's in a ship and they fly down to the planet of Coruscant and do like a normal ground battle too. In the same game. I was so mad when I saw that. Because it was done. It was a polished game. It was done. And they just didn't have the money to advertise it.
And see, what really bothers me is that they took those really cool and unique things and turned it into a conventional multiplayer game.
Yeah. They gave it to a conventional multiplayer developer and they turned it into a first-person shooter
exactly
multiplayer
exactly what you
game.
Thought it
yeah.
would be. Yeah.
Like they made matchmaking and were like, okay, let's figure out how to do this and then we're done.
If it had more planets and more modes and it had space battles, I'd be fine with no story.
Absolutely. That's the bad part about it is, like, Titanfall, there were multiple game types that were a lot of fun, and they took a lot of time to kind of learn and master.
As well as it was very balanced.
Right.
Yeah,
it was a lot of balance.
Like, usually I'll find one gun, use that my entire multiplayer experience.
Right.
I used every single gun.
And there weren't a lot of instances, like, where Call of Duty nowadays, you have to play with a team if you want to have, like, a real fighting chance anymore.
Yeah.
And Titanfall wasn't like that. I would jump in by myself or, like, with one other person all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And not have the issue of, like, well, everybody else on that team is, everybody on the other team is together and they know what they're doing and they're beating us.
As well as the first one to utilize great verticality and wall running and doing all that. So it was like a very unique and well-developed multiplayer
experience. And because it was Respawn, it had amazing, like just core gameplay to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first-person shooter and the gameplay was just spot on. So building up and adding verticality and stuff to it was great, but because it was based in just solid, if you were just people on the feet, would work as a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're looking to take notes. Yeah. Here, I can get you a pencil or something. I got some in my bag.
You got a paper?
No, Caitlin, you keep drawing.
Yeah.
I want to see what you.
For those listening,
so there you go. You can use Brian's old scribbles from the last podcast. I like how the subject actually changed. Oh, what'd you draw?
I drew them a cat.
Aww. Ooh, it's a little kitty.
For those who are listening, and that's a cat.
Yeah.
It's a very cute cat.
Maybe we could upload this as a thumbnail to the podcast. I'll take a photo of it and send it to Alex and say, like, hey, make this the thumbnail. Hey. I like... What's it?
No, what were you going
to
say?
Oh, I was going to say I like how the podcast basically changed from the importance / unimportance to the, like, how do you mesh gameplay and story.
Yeah, and multiplayer.
Yeah, absolutely, because... don't laugh every time I say that. I mean,
Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, one of my favorite jokes in Always Sunny is there's this one guy, he's like, I can show you how cool I am, I'm going to be super cool. And it's the guy that everyone compares me to, Mac. Yeah, because we were even talking about this at the bar last night before we saw Star Wars. And there's a guy, he's playing Domino's, and bust that shit up, boy. Go bust that shit up. And then he just walks up behind and goes, absolutely. And everyone just goes quiet and stares at him. Like, what the fuck is this guy? And then he's like, all right, that backfired. So we need a new plan. Yeah. And so now every time I say absolutely, Taryn just laughs and goes, absolutely.
That's great. So let me read what I wrote down. Halo 5.
Halo 5. Okay. What do you want? You just want to talk about?
Yeah, well, the story. Halo 5.
You into it?
What?
You into it?
Into it, yeah. Well, we played the campaign.
Yes, we did.
Or what resembled a campaign.
Well, I would see. My issue wasn't with the campaign; it was with the ending. My issue, the campaign, I thought was fun. I don't get why people knock the campaign a lot, because the campaign, I had a great time playing it. Like, it was hanging out with you, played for 5 hours on normal mode, which is, like, you know, 5 hours on normal is really good. Oh, thank you. And then Mr. Coffee Guy over here.
I only have two hands.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, do you want creamer or something? Like that? Because I don't.
Does he have creamer?
Probably. I don't know. If not, I'll go to the store and I'll buy you some.
We'll take the laptop and the mic.
A ninja, a ninja cat.
Ooh.
Oh, this is the
do you want the ninja cat?
Revealing mug.
Yeah, she definitely gets the
sugar
one.
Sugar and you guys want cream?
Yes, please.
Yeah, there we go. See? Yay. Brian's hooking you up. This podcast will go down in history as Brian's Hospitality Podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Just upload it with that title.
Yeah, Brian's...
Brian, have you played Halo 5?
Yeah, a little.
He said a little, everybody.
He said a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll wait till he gets back.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just going to leave this part in. Like, what do you guys want to talk about in the meantime? What do you think would be good to the audience?
I'm out here! Dude, this is super granulated. I don't know, super fine sugar. Apparently, it like, melts faster.
For everyone listening, Brian has some fancy-ass shit.
Yeah.
Fancy as fuck about it.
Fancy as fuck.
What's the blue solo cup for?
This is some gourmet shit. Okay,
this is some gourmet shit, bro. Use your used stir sticks. Any kind of garbage that you might have?
Secondhand stir sticks?
I try to be a good host.
Did you just literally say secondhand stir sticks?
Listen, it's a secondhand stir stick.
Secondhand stir stick.
So we were talking about Halo 5.
Halo 5. I think I put like a solid 2.5 hours into that game.
We were just talking about
half the campaign.
Oh, no. I mean, like, I played, like, maybe 4 multiplayer games, and that's about all I've played. Oh, wow. I just... More and more first-person shooters, you have to have a group of people to play with. And I just, unfortunately, don't have that many friends.
So did... And we barely like
I'm
you.
I'm lonely all the time. Right. I just have the empty room, so...
Well, did you play any of the story?
No.
What do you think of the Halo storyline in general?
It came out... Honestly, it came out... Before I feel like I was able to appreciate it.
Okay, well, I was able to appreciate it, and I'm only 2 years older than you.
I don't know. I mean, like, for me, the Halo 1 as a total story was literally the bridge and shooting grunts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the initial very first part where you go across the bridge and you're shooting grunts with, like, the pistol and stuff. Like, I don't know why it never really grabbed onto me, and I don't know... Halo 2 lost me even further. When I saw the old dudes in the chairs, I was like, what the fuck is... What happened? I thought I was just like a dude who killed things. Like, what the fuck is going on?
That's really weird. Because with Halo 2, that's when I jumped into the lore. I started reading the books.
When did Halo 1 come out?
2001.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're 2 years older than me, but I would be...
That's true. I was really young.
Yeah.
Like, even then, the first game, like, I didn't really know what was happening. I was just really excited to shoot things.
Yeah, and, like,
it wasn't until about the second game when I was old enough to go, like, oh, there's story and things. And right, that's like, when I finally learned how to read when I was, you know, like, 14 years old.
Halo taught you how to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. I Halo didn't ever like really hook me. I played Halo 2, Halo 3. I played all the time the multiplayer, but again, had friends in high school. They force you to be together for 6 hours a day.
Till 2 a.m.
Yeah. Well, Taryn and I want to do a little side note about the story because the ending was really lackluster for Halo 5.
Halo 5? Yeah. Honestly, spoil it if you want. I don't care. I was telling people to spoil Star Wars yesterday before it's out. I don't care. Do it.
Yeah. And the climax when they were meeting, when the Spartan 4, I forget his name, Locke, is hunting down Master Chief, and they meet again, and they're like, oh, we're fighting the same battle.
Yeah, we're friends now.
Yeah. There was no tension or anything. It's just kind of done.
Absolutely. Because the whole game was supposed to revolve around Locke hunting Chief.
Yeah.
And the real bummer, I thought, was that Chief is, like, kind of everyone's favorite. Everyone loves playing as Master Chief and, you know, having him. And I thought this was a cool game that's going to allow him to grow as a character. I want to know more about him because, based on the books, like, there is tons that we can learn about Chief.
Yeah.
Especially through the games. And they still did, like, 80% you play as Locke and his team, and 20% playing as Chief. And I thought, I was like, that's cop-out. You don't need to bring a new guy to be a secondary main character. I mean, you can give him tons of stuff to do, that's great, but still make the majority of a campaign about the guy we've been with for years.
For five, but didn't six, it, four games.
How many games have 343 made? Haven't both games, they've only made the last two, right?
Halo 4.
Technically they also did the remastered Master Chief. Yeah.
But that was just a remake of the story, though. They didn't have anything new. Right, so, I mean, the two stories that they've altered, or that they've made, start to shy away from Master Chief. I think
four was pretty on top.
Wait, which is the one I'm thinking of with the six people that like killed
Halo Reach. And
shit. Okay, yeah. That was like, because it just seems like they've started to go away from Master Chief as a character. Yeah, Halo 4 was really Master Chief.
Yeah, that was all.
That was Master all because that's the one I played. I played that one. Okay. That's the storyline.
Halo Reach.
Yeah, because Halo 4 because she's all like supposed to die, right?
Yeah, she's going.
Cortana's like, I'm going, and he's like, nah.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yep, and then like fight each other. And
next,
like,
podcast idea: Brian recounts game plots.
Listen, asshole, it'll be after you tell me about history, okay? This guy last week, I was like, so it was cool that you met the Minutemen in Lexington and Concord, right? And he was like, right. Yeah. And I was like, do you know the importance of those things? He's like, nope.
If you want to hear more, listen to the episode. I can use the view.
He skipped history in 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th grade.
That's okay.
I learned to read when I was about 14 years old. And then I forgot again for about 5 years and then picked it back up, you know, like 3 weeks ago.
So, like 3 weeks ago. Start small comic books, anything with really short words.
Yeah. Okay.
Driving is tough.
A lot of Archie's comics. Okay.
Alright.
Okay. So let's talk about. Can I bring up a point real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was thinking about narrative and storyline in games, and I realized that a huge portion of my gameplay goes into games that have absolutely no storyline at all.
I was going to say, you keep on bringing up multiplayer.
I play a lot of multiplayer. Don't get me wrong, love storyline games. Weirdly enough, and we can get into this in a little bit, Saints Row, one of my favorite storylines of all time,
except for
when they jumped the goddamn shark, which was like real quick.
Are you kidding me? They jumped the ocean.
They took
sharks and jumped the ocean.
Realistically, the game of Saints Row was jumping the shark on Grand Theft Auto as like a parody of the game, but they like, yeah, I mean, they took it and they were like, I was like, I'll play the game, but Jesus Christ, guys, like, what are we doing?
They made it a parody of itself.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it was like,
well,
it got
the thing is,
too far.
Yeah.
Too far.
They're like, yeah, because they jumped the shark and then they're like, well, that's our thing. That let's just be the guys who jumped the shark.
Right.
And playing Saints Row 4, honestly, I fell in love with Saints Row 4 and I played a lot of 2, didn't play 3 at all. And then I started with 4 and I was like, well, they're not being too campy and just, like, referencing other things. They're just, like, creating these really fun characters and these really random things. They're like, yeah, no, we're just going to have our own unique characters. We're going to make fun of, like, other people and personas.
Right, right.
But we're not going to just constantly reference other games or do anything like that. But they do have the neat little Easter eggs where they're like, there's Male Voice 1, Male Voice 2, Male Voice 3, and then Nolan North.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, that's awesome. I would love to have my character.
Exactly what they're doing, yeah.
That it was basically so when I made my character, it looked exactly like me, just maxed out all the muscular stats, and then gave it Nolan North's voice, and I was like, it's a dream come true.
We'll call it good. We'll call it set. Yeah, so like, I mean, for me, like, Most of my gameplay now goes into multiplayer or like hanging out. Like I play a lot of Fallout, which is just recent. Other than that, Madden is my go-to game.
Madden has a really good story.
Madden has zero story. There's nothing to it. Like it's weird, but like for me, the fact that every like 20 to 30 minutes I get to just start completely over is part of the fun, because you can just like there's a portion of it that you can like you can kind of have a storyline, kind of. You build your team, but realistically, it's just a football game. Like, yeah, you're still just playing a game of football. That's all it is. And I like sports. Madden, the football video game, got me to like football, the sport. Not the other way around.
Yeah, that like, was what I thought was really cool from the last
podcast. I learned the rules of football by playing Madden. Same with soccer, by playing FIFA.
Like, video games is a really good way of introducing rules.
Right, because you... Well, and for me, it was like, I'm not like a piece of shit freshman getting the shit kicked out of me by like sophomores and juniors and seniors trying to learn the game of football. I'm immediately an amazing professional athlete and get to try and learn with like the best set of possible skills. So like, it's not like as difficult to get into it as if you were trying to learn the real game of football.
And you can quit right before you lose.
Absolutely. Just, that never happened. See, and it never happened. My Xbox got unplugged. I don't know what happened. I don't know. It doesn't...
And it fell off the table.
My internet is so bad, I'm sorry. It just disconnected.
And that's the cool thing is they don't even try to make a story. They're not just like, all right, we're going to make you a rookie. You can design your own character. Right. It's a story of like dealing with the big league, and then a guy offers you steroids, and then you got to go through the drug test and doing all this.
We have to like go through and be
and,
a professional
and
football
put
game.
A plot through like this game.
Yeah.
But there is a game, and I don't think any of us have played this. It's called Fight Night Round 2.
I have played Fight Night.
Yeah.
I've played all of the Fight Nights. God damn it. God damn it. I love those games. Shit.
And so and stop me if I'm wrong. It's one of the boxing games. Yeah. And you play a
one
guy.
One of the boxing games called Fight Night Doc.
One of.
It's good. You used Fight Night Round 2. What happened to Round 1? It's one of. Something tells me it might be the second boxing game.
Okay.
Just a shot in the dark.
So. But they have a whole plot where your character is like an up-and-coming boxer, yep, and then like you do a fight in the street, and then you're arrested, and you have a fight in jail, and then you get
out
of jail.
Oh, that's right, you do! And oh my like, god, that's absolutely true.
And the thing is, I really liked it. I thought it was fun. I was like, that's really cool.
Well, it's funny, my
like,
it's
my like brother, that Michael Jai White movie, Blood and Bone.
Exactly, in a video game. Absolutely. My brother asked... Yesterday, my brother asked for a PS2 and Def Jam Vendetta for Christmas. That is what he wants to play. And that's
PS2?
And yeah, that's the
what
only
about
system.
Spy for New York?
Well, Spy for New York was only on Xbox and PS2, and then they had Def Jam Icon, which out on Xbox 360.
Terrible.
It was awful. Because they like they were like, use the analog sticks to scratch on the disc. You're a real DJ now. And it was like, but I'm not. I'm punching a dude in the face in a gas station. Like, I just slammed a dude into a
window. Was that the one where you're like a rapper and you're fighting people?
Yeah, it's like, it's literally,
I fucking love that.
They took the Def Jam rappers and made them fighters in like a fight club.
Like,
it was the best game ever. It was such
like,
a good game.
I want to beat a rapper and I want to beat the shit out of
people. Right.
How
did I
do this?
I was like, as a white kid who grew up in the suburbs of Seattle, I was like, oh my god, let me be this. I want this.
And the gas station's exploding behind
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, great.
Rick, there was Slick Rick had a diamond eye patch. Fucking
yeah,
love it.
You know that they're like pitching a game. They're like, what if, you know, Exhibit was fighting, you know?
Right.
Ice Cube.
Right. Well, and the best part was, it was the best rappers of those times, so, like, one of the final bosses was Sean Paul. And I was like, are you fucking kidding? Just give me the light! Like, it was so bad.
No, and here's
it
the thing.
So bad.
Here's what I love, is, and this is totally just me, because my favorite person in the world, and he's a hero, I learned a lot from him, is Henry Rollins. And so in Def Jam Fight for New York, when you're boosting your stats, there's a stat menu, you go to the gym.
And you talk to Henry Rollins?
Your trainer is Henry Rollins.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And there's a big point in the story, you're going through a tournament, and the last fighter is Henry Rollins. And it's just like, you know, just a regular fighting tournament.
That's
bad. And when it ends, they're sending you text messages. People are sending you text messages, they're like, holy shit, you took down Henry Rollins.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, Henry Rollins is a badass. No one forget that. Listen to his spoken word.
I'm saying that was the plot of Batman Begins.
So the best part about that is when you go to buy new clothes for your character, which I think used to give you like stat boosts or like you give you
no
money.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Really?
No.
Oh no, I think you might have got more money per fight or something like that. Yeah. Like raised like respect level or whatever. Like one of those arbitrary like lines that gives you more experience or whatever.
Yeah.
But you went to go see Jacob the Jeweler, which at that time was like all the rappers were talking about Jacob the Jeweler. So it was great to see this like 55-year-old like New York Jew in a jewelry store with a bunch of like do-rags and fucking basketball jerseys in a store. Yeah. Because in reality, he works in the Diamond District and like I'm sure never touches any amount of retail other than meeting the rapper, shaking his hand, and handing him like a diamond Slurpee or some shit. Like, he just hands dumb jewelry over that costs like a ton of money. But it was great to go in there and be like, yeah, man, give me this $85,000 watch, these fucking $20 Tims, and this $40 pair of jeans. I'll take all of that. What's that? $80,000? Great, I'll take it. Like, it was just so, like unreal.
Oh, like, you say the prices and they totally add up to something different.
I don't know, dude. Fuck it, it doesn't matter. But, like, it was just so funny to me to be like, As a white kid in suburban, half black, as a mixed race child in suburban Seattle, it was great for me to be able to do that. Right, as a mixed breed. Listen, I'm not a purebred of anything. But it was weird to like at first go, I want to be this cool rapper that fights people, and then to go, okay, now I even see the ridiculousness in buying a do-rag and a $100,000 diamond dog tag chain. Like, this is too much. Like, no one does this. There's no real life in this. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of funny to see that they blew out the doors on any kind of reality of it and just were like, you can be as cool as you want. We got you a sidekick. You got Escalades.
Cool.
Method Man is
your best
friend.
You can date Carmen Electra.
Dude, that's right! You can date girls! I forgot about that! And you could
live the life you want to live.
Yeah, and they'd like invite you on dates and stuff and like you'd be like, yeah, I'm pursuing my relationship with Carmen Electra this week.
And and then there would be cat fights and you would control your girlfriend and then whoever, if you lost that fight, you just had a new girlfriend.
It was great because they'd be like, you'd be in the, they'd play like a nice cutscene for you where you're like in the club with like your girl and like just like hanging out at like some club and people are like fighting about 30 feet away from you like it's nothing, and then like some girl bumps your girlfriend and she's like, oh hell no, we're fighting about this, and then there's like an entire fight that happens. It was great. It was awesome.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so my brother asked for that for Christmas because he doesn't play very many video games, but
he knows the good ones.
He knows the best ones that are out there. Yeah. That's for sure. But yeah, I mean, those Fight Night games, I play those all the time. I wish they would add a career mode or storyline into the Madden series, because that's the one thing I want, is some amount of storyline or control over, like, a character, or some investment in a character, because realistically right now, it's like, okay, you didn't perform well enough, or you cost too much money, you're gone. And there's no, like, there's no investment to, like, oh, I like these players, like, let me keep them, I don't care about them, just get them.
So you can create your own football player.
Yeah.
And here's a story.
Mm-hmm. Because then you could have all sorts of cutscenes where it's just like the coach has to come talk to you and says, we're trading you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And like, so the NBA games do that. The NBA 2K games do that all the time. Like this.
NHL tried.
2K16, the storyline was directed by Spike Lee.
Really?
It's a fucking movie, dude. Like, yeah, Spike Lee did the directing for the storyline. Like, you play.
Can you date Carmen Electra?
I don't think
so. So is it really a story?
I don't think so.
Is it really?
But you could, throwing back again, you could go buy yourself an original Xbox and get NBA Ballers, which turned all of the NBA stars into, like, you'd go visit their houses where they're, like, decked out in chains and, like, playing pickup basketball on one hoop with you. And it was, like, one-on-one basketball. But that was another one where it was like, all right, we're going to give you $50,000 for playing, you know, Scottie Pippen on his yacht. And when you beat him, you get $50,000, and with that, you can buy a friend to sit in the audience for you, and you can throw the ball to him, and he'll throw the fucking alley-oop to you while you're playing. What? Like, it was just, like, the most outlandish stuff that you could, like, invest in. Like, yeah, now I got an Escalade. I don't ever drive it or ever see it, but it's parked on the side of the basketball court when I'm playing, you know, whoever I'm playing that week.
Yeah.
So it was just weird, like, that year, it was like 2005 maybe, where like all those games came out and just made everyone the coolest person on the planet.
Yeah, the goal was to just boost your self-esteem.
But that was
and
like,
teach you how to irresponsibly spend
that was,
money.
That
buy
was
friends.
The peak, that's the peak of the storyline in sports games, because now there really isn't anything anymore.
Yeah.
And so we need to go back to that. Yeah. Let me be a baller. I want to be a baller.
You're a baller in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm a baller and you're a terrible basketball.
And so now I'm going to bring up something that
Minecraft
might
no, I'm kidding,
That might include Caitlin a bit, so feel free to chime in if you want. No, no obligation.
Say it with your chest.
Say it with your chest. MOBAs, like League of Legends and everything like that. Because she brought up a good point out of the fact that when you're playing the game, it's all multiplayer.
Yep.
But it has this really deep, expansive lore that everyone seems to really get
like
into.
Like the Old Republic?
Fuck you.
God, what a dick. You just, he said MOBAs and you immediately go to an MMO. You so you mean this other kind of game?
I'm just trying to subtly get it over back into my court.
Because,
and that's damn.
And see, for me, there's not enough story to keep me wanting to play League of Legends. Like, the only play is because my girlfriend plays it. And it's fun. Like, I really enjoy playing it, especially with my girlfriend, because we kick ass.
Can you guys teach me to play League of Legends?
Oh, absolutely.
By you guys, I hope you mean me.
Yeah,
I just wanted to include Doc to make sure that
if we don't have microphones, like for her to tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Go back, oh god, not under the tower.
I die all the time.
I know enough about it so when people, like when coworkers are talking about it at work, I can chime in just to like troll people and like just make a noise. Oh yeah, I was over in the forest gank. I was in jungle just ganking fools all day. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, dude, I'm in top all the time. Sometimes
got him with my alt. There's men.
Right, like I don't know anything about what I'm talking about, but it's like, yeah, I run top sometimes, but I can get the mid lane every now and then if we need to. Yeah, whatever.
It's weird because I'm bottom. I'm always bottom.
I'm power bottom. Power bottom. That's okay.
Generate a lot of power.
Base. That's where you gotta
And the thing is, it's like, for me, there's not enough being presented during the gameplay
to get you hooked into what's
the story behind this? How can I do that thing where it's like I develop, like I make the connections and develop my own story or develop an understanding of how this world works through the gameplay? There's just not enough there for
me. That's weird because I think I would get sucked into the storyline of it and not the gameplay of it. Like, I like watching broadcasts of like esports of like StarCraft and League of Legends and that kind of stuff. Yeah. I love the, like, I don't want to say chess aspect, like the person versus person aspect of like, it's like a sport. You see people using different strategies and beating the other person. I like that. But because I'm not good enough at it, I'm like a great armchair coach, right? Where I can tell you what to do. I have no idea how to do it. Don't know the hotkeys. Yeah. Absolutely no clue. But I'm more likely to look at a character and go, who the hell is that dude? Like, I don't know what he's about. And then go and do a search and, like, figure out the storyline. So I think I would be more interested in learning the storyline because I don't play it. Mm-hmm. Because when you play it, you're focused on just the gameplay of it and not, like, the character or story of it. When I watch it, that's the only other thing
absolutely
I have to hold on to.
See, the thing is, with, like, MOBAs and RTSs, I think it's just really hard to make stories flow well with those
things. It is.
Out of the fact that it's, like, I saw the trailer for the launch of StarCraft 2. There's a launch trailer that they had. And it was one of the coolest trailers I had ever seen. I was like, if that's a movie, I'm sold. Because I'm seeing the perfect form of this story being I'm like, I'm in it. That sounds amazing.
Right.
But it's an RTS, and I'm like, I can't do RTSs. I'm too dumb.
Listen, you and me both, brother. Yeah, I can hit, if you got hot sections, great keys, individually.
If it requires requires me to go against somebody else, not going to work.
Right, if it's me against the world, I crumble. I crumble at those.
The pressure.
When there's one person on the other side, I work individually with people who are upset every day as my job. I cannot do it in a video game. I just crumble. I'm like, I don't,
this is too much like real life.
He used a term I'm not familiar with. I don't know.
These are real problems.
Right. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't know how engaged are you when you're playing League of Legends? Because I assume that you don't have a lot of time to, like, who's that character and what's his background information?
Well, when you're loading in, you can go through each character that people have played and check them out if you want to.
Does it give you, like, a background or, like, a story about them, or is it just, like,
yeah,
a,
I mean, if...
I assume it's, like, a physical stats, right? Like, 6'1", 220 or something? I don't
not
know.
Quite. What happens is, when you're in character select, if you click on any icon, it'll give you the brief backstory, kind of their abilities, and then what role they're supposed to fill.
I, as someone who has no idea what I'm doing, would at least get some direction
enough
to yell at people, how do I do X, Y, Z?
It does, if you have, you know, the time before load-in starts to actually read through all of it, it does give, like, strategies and tips for playing these characters as an overview of what your four abilities and your passive all do.
Right, right. So that's, I mean, it at least gives you some amount of, like, information as to, like, what is going on.
Yeah, because there's certain things, like, after I played the game, I kind of figured out the general crux of, like, what the end goal is. Of course, it's like, take the enemy base. Well, it's like, well, how do you take the enemy base? Well, you go into their territory, but you're being attacked, so how do you destroy the things that are attacking you?
Right.
Well, you have these grunts. It's like, okay, so we want to destroy their grunts to try and protect our grunts.
Right.
You don't want to go too far ahead of theirs. You want to stay back and let them lead. That way
throw
you have
the word gank in there every so often just to make sure.
Use an ult every now and again.
So
I'm able to understand that development kind of flow, but there's certain moments where it's like where we're playing these really long matches where it's like, oh, we're going to go and then find these NPCs and kill these dragons or this giant thing. And I'm like,
get the gears.
I'm like,
gotta get the gear.
And that's just it. It's like, I don't know why we're deviating from the plan in order to do that. I just listen to what she tells me and I'm like, okay.
See,
don't question orders.
Don't do that.
Stop.
There's three of those guys over there. Why are you doing this?
Doc, I'm going to go ahead and push my glasses up. I think what you're talking about... Thank you.
Well, my big
head is going to just stretch them out. So it's actually called a meta game that you're having some difficulty with. When you're in a long, stressed out game, you got to make sure you understand how to build and stay on the strong side while you don't take too much away and allow the other team to become too powerful.
Why are you so good at that?
It's sort of like a classic Jedi and Sith situation where you have to keep the force in balance. You just need to make sure that you don't let your enemies get too powerful while even yourself staying too weak. You need to make sure you stay powerful. So anyway, learn metagame and your game will get a lot stronger. Maybe try to start ganking some fools in the jungle. I don't know.
Ganking some fools in the jungle.
Maybe try ganking some fools in the jungle.
It's been a pleasure talking to everyone here, but I think I have to go kill myself.
I hope that at some point you do that too often and you can't turn it off.
You just can't stop. I can't do it.
Oh, God. You can't stop like that. Yeah. Just don't make that face.
If I do it, like, if it's cold outside and I'm just like, my teeth, just like my jaws just realign.
Someone slaps you on the back.
Right. I'm knocked unconscious doing that voice and I don't know any different.
You get locked, John, like this.
Right. Like, oh, right. No, it's happening.
Your eyesight gets worse. He has more glasses. Big round ones.
See, one's definitely possible.
That's absolutely possible.
So that one's a little scary.
My parents, although they are divorced, still remain friendly. And like, I think I went to a birthday dinner or something, and they couldn't. My dad couldn't see the menu, so my mom just like handed her glasses over. And he was like, "Oh, thanks. Got these real quick."
Why did I ever divorce you?
I assume that I'm going to wear glasses when I grow up.
Oh, because they both wear glasses.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, this wasn't a comment about parental divorce. Jesus Christ, I wasn't like, yeah. And so while they were sharing glasses, I was in the corner crying. So I was like, when can I have one Christmas again? Too much.
That's a good one, bro.
Nah, fuck that. I fully support parental divorce. I keep my parents as individuals.
I keep on thinking of jokes that I can do, but then you just top it. I'm like, I can't do a joke. Because I was going to say, it's like, oh yeah, no, I definitely have to wear glasses in my future too. Not because of genetic kind of thing. It's just I can't stop looking at laser pointers. It's so pretty.
I imagine you like walking to like a 7-Eleven with like the door chimes and you're like... Hey, you guys got a garage door opener? My eyes are feeling a little tired. Yeah. I just need to perk them up a little.
Just a couple of there. Well, but there's a little laser. Nice, good old long drive ahead.
Doc's at the store. Hey, can I borrow your barcode scan? Thanks, real quick. Yeah, all right.
Dust that up.
Yeah. Just freshen up a bit. Just a little bit. Absolutely.
Love laser pointers.
Do you?
I'm glad that joke still managed to
get in. Hey, that was a great joke. That was fantastic.
Your one Christmas thing was way too
good. That was my last.
I prefaced the last episode by saying that you're one of the funniest people I know.
Thank you. Thank you. I just am outlandish. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Just irreverence. I appreciate that.
Well, it's funny because like people say at work that they can hear me laughing like down the block, outside, like taking out garbage and stuff. That literally, as a kid, was how I would find my dad in a crowd. Like I would literally just wait. Like we'd be at like a barbecue, or like even worse, like we went to like Washington D.C. and like I couldn't find him at one point in the Smithsonian. I was like, all right, well, we're in some museum, and I was like, I don't know where he is, and there's a bunch of people around, and then all of a sudden I hear my dad laughing, and I was like, he's like 15 feet over there. I got this. I just walked right over to him. But he's just got like my family has just like
it's a Whiting sonar.
Was he just by himself laughing?
He was talking to somebody.
Oh, dude, okay. Was this like, I lost my son. Someone tell me a Louis C.K. joke. Quick,
knock, knock. I mean, anything. I don't know. Yeah, no, my dad is just one of those people that, like, it takes about 30 seconds for him to be best friends with whoever the fuck he's talking to. Gotcha. Like, he just immediately... Yeah, that's I think, where I get that, is just talking to anybody about anything. So he laughs every couple of minutes, you know. You'll find him, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah.
All right, so did we finish up the League of Legends topic? Did anyone have any questions?
I don't have anything to add to League of Legends. I've never played it.
I got a funny story about League of Legends. I played it once.
Yeah.
I got the shit kicked out of me. Mm-hmm. So I decided to play it with a friend. Now, tell me if this is a good way to introduce, because you've introduced Doc. No. Tell me this is a good way to introduce someone to a MOBA or to League of Legends. I join a game with my friend. I won't name him. I went to high school with him. He invites me and he says, this is going to be a great game. You're going to love League of Legends. Let's play. So I said, okay, great. What are we going to play? Like 2v2 against like some computers or something? He goes, nah, 5v5, jumping in. We're just going to play with random people. I was like, okay, quick question. What? How's this game work? And he goes, don't worry about it. Quote, and I quote, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. So I jump in. I start walking around. I kind of understand. I think I get the idea of it. So I'm like, okay, I don't buy anything. Let's go just kill things, right? I immediately get start just like there's Chinese symbols in all caps. There's curse words.
Capitalized Chinese.
I don't know. it seemed like official. I don't know. It seemed shouty. I think I don't know.
Very aggressive lines.
It was It was like, well, my letters are smaller than yours, so you must be mad. It just seemed weird. So, and then there was like all capitals, just like fuck you, and like I thought, oh, somebody's really messing up. And then I saw my name come across and was like, oh shit, they're yelling at me.
Did they know your real name? Fuck you, Brian Whiting.
No. But they were like
his username is Brian Whiting.
Brian Whiting, yeah.
With his address.
It was just the last four of my social right after that. But yeah, so like I was just playing and like they just start yelling at me and I'm like, okay, so I'm on Skype with my friend who's asked me to play and told me I'd have so much fun. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And they're like, dude, don't worry about him. And I was like, okay, but they say I'm ruining the game and I'm going to make us lose. And he was like, don't worry about it. I was like, so what do I do? And he goes, oh, you know, just kill stuff. So I'm like wandering around, don't know what to do. Then, best part of all of it, this guy starts sending me messages. He's like, listen, dude, if you don't leave, I swear to God, I'm going to ruin your life. Like, you are absolutely... He was like, I'm on a win streak. You're killing me. I don't know. I don't want to lose this. I don't know if there's a win streak bonus or something in the game.
No, this guy's
so
just...
So he's just a dick.
He's just a sad person.
He starts yelling at me, and then he starts just saying personal things, like, I'm going to find you, I'm going to kill your mother.
Well,
you shouldn't
have put your address in your username.
Yeah. Listen, it was a mistake. I thought they were asking for credit card info. It was my name. But yeah, so like, I just like got yelled at for like about 15 minutes straight, and then we quit the game, and I was like, so can I play against a computer or like... learn something? And he goes, oh no, dude, you learn by playing it. So I just never played again.
And see, and that's the thing, you should have been playing.
Right, I was like, I don't want to go through that. I was like, so you're telling me I need to get the shit kicked out of me for about 15 minutes at a time until I don't anymore. He was like, yeah.
Now, to my understanding, based on what I was told by Caitlin, you, as a person who just started, you should be facing off against bots.
Yeah, what I did with Doc is we got on Skype, and I was like, okay, now bottom is a two-person lane. None of the others are. I mean, you can run top with two.
I'm a power bottom. I only need one bike down there. Listen. I don't know how the game works. So you need two people on the bottom lane.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to load in and call bottom right away so that you and I get to go together and then I can watch you and tell you what to do. And
she was just trying to look at your butt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I'm going to need you to walk in front of me. Don't ask any questions. Just that's your role, so don't worry about it.
The armor, you don't need it. Just drop that stuff. But only the lower half. It's fine. Don't worry. So you were at least able to go with him and tell him what to do.
Yeah, we called a two-person lane, and I was like, okay, now these are the controls, and you should, you know, buy this item to start with.
She would even specify.
The fuck, dude.
Yeah. You had told me, don't worry about
it. So I started, and I went right. The other dude just cut left. My friend was just like, all right, I'm out. I'm going. And I was like, okay. Well,
He's like, don't worry about it.
I'm going to putz around until I see some of these bad guys.
No, and just kind
of
hit them.
Yeah. So wait, your friend was playing with you. He's seeing all these things that this awful person is saying to you, and he's still just like, don't worry about it.
It'd be funny if he was that guy.
I distinctly remember getting no concern from him when I was getting berated for just being the worst player. And so I was like, I remember just going like, is there a computer that we can play against, or like a bot? Because I'm pretty sure that this game would have like something like that. Is there
Isn't it like if you're a low level like I am, you can only go against bots? You're not able to go against people?
I think this may be recent, but I think you have to be level 6 before they let you play against
people. I didn't play a second of the game before they jumped me into 5-on-5. Yeah, no, I didn't play. They may have made me play like a tutorial mission, but I don't remember it enough. Like I didn't know the controls when I started.
Oh yeah.
Like I was like, okay, so
she was kind enough. She's like, oh, you're gonna be this person, and when you get level ups, this power does this. This power does this. This power does this.
I picked a dude with a cool blade weapon.
Jace.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck his name was. Dude, he's like a big like black demon looking guy.
Oh, dude.
Aatrox?
Sure.
Yeah.
Aatrox.
That's it. Yep, yeah. Absolutely. Did you say Jax?
Panic Room, right, guys?
Panthers! Before Lineker got the crazy, I'm the last king of Scotland. I mean,
Jodie Foster was like, oh.
Jodie Foster was like, where's the insulin?
Shield Season 5.
It's a race against
where is the insulin? I need it. Yeah, I mean, that's Panic Room. That's absolutely it. I think I got some notes. I have a note here.
He has the detailed synopsis of Panic Room that he wrote down.
Detailed synopsis.
It's Panic Room poetry.
Minute one. Oh my god. And then the daughter's got like a mini fridge. The daughter's got a mini fridge of Sunny D in her room, and I used to think that was the coolest fucking thing.
You're like, that's the highlight.
Is that why there's a fridge of Sunny D right here?
Oh, no. Shh, don't break the fourth wall. the third wall. I don't know. We're just in audio. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. How many walls are there on a podcast?
It doesn't matter. Wow, there's a whole lot of shit in here. There's a lot of nothing.
Like, just wiped your ass with that book.
Well, we've covered a lot of it. Like I've got in here that like a game can get by with good mechanics and no narrative. The opposite cannot be true. Like, it can't be a great narrative and just shitty gameplay. I don't know if you've ever run into that.
That's true.
I don't know if you've ever run into a game that's got a great narrative and you dealt with the bad gameplay.
Because that was it with like Mass Effect. It's like the narrative is there. Everyone tells me what the story is, but I can't get through it because the gameplay kind of really holds me back.
Yeah, the gameplay.
So that's a very good point. Yeah.
I don't know why I wrote this. I have it here that a game that's got good mechanics and no narrative is Night Squad, which is like a free game on Xbox right now. It's like a party
free
game.
Free advertising for Night Squad.
It's like a party game that I played with like my brother and one of my buddies when he came over here. But like I don't know why I put that in here. It's a good game, but there's no storyline in that game.
Night Squad sounds like a great game.
Yeah.
Oh, I have in here, it's interesting that Call of Duty started with a storyline being a central focus.
Oh, Call of Duty 1,
and
2,
and turned
3.
Into dumb shit.
And now I literally put it's a gimmick, and then I just put Lynch. For Marshawn Lynch being in the game.
Yeah, that's true. they will literally put in whoever's popular at the time, because Black Ops 2 had...
the House of Cards dude.
Kevin Spacey.
Whatever, dude. Fuck it. Pax, the guy who eats the goddamn banana, the evil dude from that movie, Usual Suspects. Listen.
Okay, spoiler. Did you just say Pax? Did you mean Apex?
Whatever, the dude who eats the fucking banana in the peel.
It's not even Apex, it's K-Pax.
Fuck you, dude.
K-Pax was a great movie. K-Pax.
You set me up for failure, you piece of shit. You mean Apex? Yeah, that one. That's wrong.
You set me up for failure. No, because they also have the guy from Walking Dead, Herschel from The Walking Dead. He was in Black Ops 2.
Herschel Walker, the football player?
No, Herschel from Walking Dead, you fucking asshole.
I thought we were naming Kevin Spacey movies.
Yeah, dude, he's the fucking bad guy in The Usual Suspects. What's his name? Don Del
Piero.
Kaiser Soze.
Bell-Pimp DeVoe.
Bell-Pimp DeVoe. I don't know. Never trust a big butt in a smile. Damn it, I don't think that's right either. I do have in here Minecraft. Minecraft is in here. Minecraft!
Are you really?
Because there's no storyline.
Well, okay. There is...
Oh, my God. Okay, coming full circle, I know what the idea that I had here is. Call of Duty and Minecraft are opposites in narrative... usage, because Call of Duty started with a super long storyline that like spanned two or three games, and then now it's like a piece of shit that nobody plays. Yeah, everybody just plays the multiplayer side. Mm-hmm. Minecraft has zero storyline, it was all good gameplay, and now Telltale is like shoehorning a storyline into it.
Yeah. By the way, I played that at PAX, the Minecraft story thing that they're trying to do, it's fucking terrible.
I don't know why. I don't.
But it has Patton Oswalt.
Who gives a shit?
Patton Oswalt cares.
I will say,
I'm sure Henry Rollins cares.
I will say that Herschel Walker doesn't care. I will say that. Have you ever seen Tremors? Callbacks! No, but realistically, I will say, though, I don't know that whoever thought that Minecraft would be a good storyline game when they started, I don't know why someone was like, yeah, dude, put that in there. It's based on squares.
Yeah.
Voxels. It's on oh, sorry, excuse me. Voxels.
Voxels.
But
is it Apex?
Apex. Is it Apex? Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Pax.
2001 A Space Odyssey. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Are we just naming movies that have monkeys in them?
I thought it was 2003 Space Odyssey.
2003.
That was the... They didn't even do 2002. They just jumped to 2000.
Yeah, it was like, there's 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street. The third movie better be 22 Jump Street 2. That'd be so good.
Tremors 1, Tremors 2, Tremors 3.
There actually is Tremors.
I think there's
Tremors TV show. Tremors That's got to happen. Tremors, with Kevin Bacon.
Tremors, I think, had a video game at one point that was like super shitty. I don't know if they I'm just going to assume that like Mattel made it. I don't know. Anyway, I've completely forgotten what I was saying about Minecraft.
Voxels.
Oh, yeah, so I just don't know why. Like that. To me, it's one of those things where like they used the voxel in Minecraft, and that was, I think, the best way you could utilize that that kind of gameplay mechanic. I don't know why you'd think, oh yeah, let's just make a storyline and throw that in there.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You already used that game mechanic, and now you're trying to expand on its use.
Well, the thing is that it's a very popular thing, and they're like, well, how can we make more of something that is already such a success without having a story? They're like, what doesn't this game have? A story.
Which is weird.
So how do we make more games based on this? And the only thing they don't have is a story, so that's it's kind of their only option.
Most games go in the opposite direction, though. They start with a story, and they need to expand it, and they go to multiplayer.
Yeah.
True. The story, usually a very tight niche of people who actually complete the whole thing.
And that's, he brought up a good point of Call of Duty, because if you watch, if you see, like, a lot of their cutscenes and a lot of their plot points, they're just ripping themselves off. Like, later games are just stealing plot points they had from
the exact same plot points. Yeah. It's always like, we're a band of people on the run, but we're the best that there ever was and ever will be.
Two different games ended it with them in juggernaut suits storming a facility to kill the main bad guy in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't... That's.
And then they do that in the airplane, too.
The movie Airplane 2.
No, the end of, I think, Modern Warfare 2, they're in the airplane.
It was the beginning of Modern Warfare 2, and Don't Call Me Shirley.
Callbacks!
Clearance, Clarence.
What's your vector, Victor?
Okay, so, no, that's absolutely true. The storylines of Modern Warfare, or of Call of Duty as a whole, have gone to shit. But Modern Warfare 2 did use that aspect before it was used twice in endings for later Call of Duties. But you weren't in a juggernaut suit.
Right.
You just had like a submachine. You had like a light machine gun and you walked through the airport and just murdered people.
Yeah. I wasn't talking about that mission, but that did bring up a good point of them.
Wait, really? What other mission were you talking about?
It was the last mission. They're in an airplane.
Oh, the epilogue of the first Modern Warfare.
The what the fuck is that called? Mile High Club.
Yeah, sure. And then in Modern Warfare 2, there is an airplane mission, and then you do like a free fall thing, and then you land on the ground, and you're protecting
president.
There's a stealth mission.
And then they ran into tons of flack because the opening of Call of Duty Ghosts had the exact same sequencing as the ending of Modern Warfare 2, where they even did a side-by-side comparison of the cutscenes, and they're like, yes, this is the exact same stuff. They just
really,
there's a side-by-side comparison of these two games, and they're like, this opening cutscene is the exact same as the ending cutscene. Yeah.
It's just like Nickelback.
I think that's like the worst cop-out you can hit. Yeah. To do the exact same thing is like...
Exact same.
You're not jumping the shark. You just killed the shark and yourself.
Yeah. You drowned the shark.
You drowned the shark. You hit the fish. You drowned it.
How did you drown the shark?
You animal. Yeah. But realistically... And the shitty thing to me, at least, is they have gotten away from focusing on the storyline to focusing on multiplayer, and it now sucks. The multiplayer for Call of Duty makes me worried about the future of our children, and I fucking hate saying that.
I did two missions of Advanced Warfare, and I haven't touched any Call of Duty.
I feel like I need to be history lesson. I feel like I need to be Marion Barry if I want to play Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
That's Lincoln's wife.
I was gonna say that's a good ice cream flavor.
Jesus Christ! Mayor of Washington.
Mayor
of Washington D.C. smoked crack cocaine. On camera in a motel. It doesn't matter.
With the Toronto Mirror?
No. That was only on picture. He only had a picture. Oh, there's a video apparently of it too. It doesn't matter. Listen.
Multiple occurrences.
Married and Barry, he had the worst name on the planet. Smoked crack cocaine. Best part about him? Smoked crack cocaine. Went to jail. Got out of jail. Re-elected. Fucking winning. Got him. Yeah. I mean, like, I just... That game is so fast-paced for me that I cannot keep up with it. Like, yeah. I can only imagine being, like, a 12-year-old who's eaten an entire box of, like, Fruit Loops and playing that game. It would be a ton of fun, but I can't... Like, there's people jumping, and there's, like, lights everywhere, and everything's neon-colored now, and it's
all... Yeah, and see, and the thing is they took all
shit
the...
shit flashing at me, dude.
They took everything that I love from Titanfall and then just cranked it up to 11 pacing. And I
well, they were like
that.
We're gonna deconstruct the Titan and wrap it around your body so you can do that at all times.
And also the whole perk system where it's like, oh, you get more
terrible
killing things for killing people. It's like, oh, you're really good at this game. Let's give you more stuff to kill people.
Oh, I
whereas with Titanfall, it's like everyone gets a Titan.
Yeah,
playing field is level.
And
no
even if you don't
are.
Kill anybody at a certain point, you still get a Titan.
Yeah.
It's just a time limit thing.
Yeah,
that you
can
speed
and
up
you can speed
points.
It up,
right.
Slow it down. It's like everyone gets a Titan.
And the creative class in Call of Duty now is just atrocious. It's
the
worst, because it used to be like, okay, very simply laid out. You get a gun, you get an attachment for that gun.
A quick side note: has any of us played Black Ops 3? Just right. Keep going. Right, I want
to
hear about it.
All right. So it used to be, have you guys you guys played Call of Duty 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you, in that creative class of multiplayer, you could get a gun, you get an attachment for that gun, you get a secondary gun, an attachment for that gun. Like, it's very laid out. And, right.
Yeah.
And there was at least, you could use a perk to give yourself like two primary weapons or something. Now it's a point system. So any class can have 10 points, and any gun, attachment, or perk or grenade counts as a point. So, like, if you want to do... So, the part that gets shitty is, instead of saying you can give up one perk for an extra attachment, it now is you can use one point to get the perk, to get the extra attachment. Then, you use one point for the gun, one point for the first attachment, one point for the skill that lets you get a second attachment, and then one point for the second attachment.
They call it the pick 10 system.
So, right? Now, I've got, I think, half a gun and nothing to fucking do other than, you know, if I run out of ammo. Like, it just seems, like, I always go out and I'm like...
I just picture you with, like... The scope,
right?
Okay,
I've got the
and like some rocks.
I've got the lower receiver of an AR-15 and nothing up top. There's just no barrel and no. Like, I'm just like.
You gotta find a dude who's got the top gear.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He's running around like he's
trying to find
team.
You.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. At a certain kill streak, we get the one like screw that'll put it together, and we get.
That's
it
actually a neat idea, a neat little phone game where it's like, oh,
everybody has pieces of a weapon,
and then the first team to construct the gun can win by killing them.
Yeah,
yeah, that would
be
cool.
That would
be
a good way to
like
do
that.
It.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, you can use, like, hand-to-hand combat, or you can go with, like, you could. Everybody has a piece of...
Well, yeah, no, everyone's able to respawn, but if you're killed with the pistol, then you can't respawn. So everyone can fist fight other players, but they'll respond back to help. So the goal is to construct
the
gun,
right,
and
together,
then kill them so they can't respawn anymore.
Oh.
But what's the narrative?
It doesn't need a narrative.
We're boom!
Yeah.
What's the gun? What's its motivation?
Yeah.
What's the motivation?
What's its origin story?
I have another note. Madden.
Madden.
We talked about that for like half an
hour.
Oh,
I have a question. I have a little, yeah. little brain tickler here. Is a game like GTA possible without a storyline?
No.
Go.
GTA Online, it already does not have a storyline.
Oh, that's true.
Correct.
It does.
But...
Yeah.
Would you think, I would say, would GTA be where it is today without a storyline?
No, not at all.
Because
it requires a storyline.
It has to. Like, right now, I think it's odd that they've now gotten to a point where they can abandon a storyline if they wanted to. They could get to a point, they now are at a point where they could say, it's all Grand Theft Auto Online, you can play by yourself, and there may be missions for you to do, but
yeah.
It's not, there's no single player story, there's no characters.
Yeah, because they're kind of saying, like, everyone's kind of banking on the fact that the future is multiplayer.
You go get
which is why
jail.
They're starting to slowly cut out stories for certain games. But
yeah.
thanks to people's reactions to Battlefront, they're saying, no, we want story. We don't want our future to just be multiplayer.
Just make a game.
Yeah.
And not half a game.
Absolutely.
Don't give me a demo.
Yeah.
I can't harp on that enough. I'm so bitter about my purchase.
How much money did you spend?
I spent the whole $60. You know what the worst part is? I spent the whole $60 the day before my job offered it for $30.
Fuck.
So,
realistically, I'd pay the $30 convenience fee to not have to get up to change the disc, though. So
that's true. Sometimes that's worth it.
I buy the copy of Madden because that was the first big game I bought with my Xbox. I buy a copy, the brand new copy of Madden. I put it in my Xbox and never change the discs again. Everything else I buy on the marketplace, so I don't have to change this. Nice. I don't know why. Just like for me, that's
I know
the worst
it's
part.
So much easier to just not change this. Yeah. As well as if anything happens to my console, everything's just like I don't have like a bunch of discs that I need to hold
like,
on to
and or like reinstall anything. Like I swapped out my Xbox like a month ago, and I was like, oh god, I have to spend all night reinstalling games. Plugged it in, had all my games.
That's where Steam had it right from the beginning. Just a whole digital library. That's the smartest thing.
I played a game on my Surface on Steam the other day, and I didn't realize I was streaming it from this computer in here, and I just hadn't like installed the game on my Surface. I was streaming it, and I was like, oh yeah, Steam is like the future now. I forgot. Like I didn't have to go through the process of downloading it to play it.
Anyway, back to the GTA conversation.
But yeah, it's
like they were utilizing what they had because I mean obviously when GTA was coming up there was no multiplayer.
There wasn't, yeah.
So they're like story has to be the thing. Like we want a story, and they even were like it's a crime game, so let's just kind of rip off Scarface.
Right,
it's like
right.
Rags to riches.
Yeah,
right. Vice City literally was Scarface. For the most part, it was a good rendition of Scarface.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's the Scarface that Scarface wasn't.
Basically, yeah, it was like if Scarface didn't die, this is what Scarface would be.
Well, so that was the Scarface game.
Spoilers.
Did you play the Scarface game?
No,
there was one for the Xbox.
Play the Godfather games.
Godfather game.
Those were good games.
Yeah,
man.
I thought the first Godfather game was great.
So the Scarface game starts out. You're in the mansion, and
you die. End game.
That would be great.
Battlefront 2.
That'd be great. No, and you turn around and you kill the guy with a shotgun, and then the game starts, and you escape the mansion. And then Scarface is just that. The whole game is what if you didn't die at that point?
Wow,
dude! If that's how they had marketed it to me, I would have purchased. When did this game come out? I want to go play it. 2004. I'm not playing that game.
No, I'm not. Get me a remastered version.
Right, I can't go back to play those games. They're so shitty, Scarface. Dude. What game did I played a game recently where I tried to get back into it? I think it was like GoldenEye or something. Where it was just this game is like just so bad. It's so hard mechanically to play. I just can't. Yeah. I could not focus.
And that's what I don't get is a lot of people say, oh, older games, those are the real games. Those are the golden age. Right. I was like, no, the golden age is kind of still coming up.
Right.
Like, we haven't gotten to the point where games have gotten worse. They have only ever gotten better.
The
golden age is the moment where games became the best they could possibly be, and then we had a decline.
And I don't know when we'll have that, if we will.
Absolutely. So far, I think we're just on a constant incline ever since the first game was ever created.
Yeah. I don't think there's been movements back. I mean, E.T., the game was terrible.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
There have been terrible games.
They did make, like, Hannah Montana for the Game Boy Advance.
Okay, that game was
don't
great.
Don't talk shit about that game. I have 100 hours to watch in that game.
We both instantly grabbed on.
Hey, wait a minute.
She's a saint.
You leave Hannah Montana out of this. You leave H.M. out of this. You have to give her a nickname if you're really close with her. Yeah. Well, I mean, the best games that I've ever...
That's just what you wanted to bring up is just the Hannah Montana game?
Yeah. Was there more news?
Well, they've made terrible games. They're horrible. You ever played Iron Man 2?
No.
Dude, Iron Man 2 was...
Like, have you played Hitman Absolution?
Oh, gosh! Shut the fuck up! God damn it! Listen, I don't want to play that game. I have a feeling that game is just...
The gameplay's
from what I've heard...
Gameplay's fantastic.
Not as good
don't
as
Don't tell me that, because I'm going to go...
Much better game. About Hannah Montana?
Yes.
The gameplay. Core gameplay? Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. The world building?
The world. Free roam when I hit a Montana game? Oh my god.
Hardcore and everything.
I came in like a... Yeah.
That's not Hannah Montana. That's Miley Cyrus. Yeah, you're ruining the secret.
Holy shit!
What? What did we say about walls, Terry?
Keep the walls where they are.
Quit breaking them.
Walls were made to contain things.
I'm trying to think. What do you guys think was... You've already come in, Caitlin, with your answer of Hannah Montana. What is your least favorite game? What is the worst game you've ever played? Not Hitman Absolution. Not Hannah Montana.
Yeah,
what is the worst game you've ever played?
Ah, oh, jeez, that's a good question.
Because there have been a lot of, like, crap games. Honestly, I hate to say it again, Dragon Age Inquisition ended with me on a bitter note. I really don't like that game. Don't like that game. It just, I don't know why, it really, like, it seemed almost intentionally long, and I just felt like torture to me.
Okay, so I can do the easy cop-out one, which is Aliens Colonial Marines. Mainly because that one ruined me, because anyone who knows me, I'm a huge
alien, predator, kind of fox monster kind of fan.
Yeah.
And so that one really destroyed, like, because I played the demos of that. I would tell people how much fun I had playing those demos. And when I got that game and spent a full $60 on it, I was just
really
destroyed on the inside. I was like, this is so bad. And they just, yeah. But the other thing that I could add is there are games where it's like, I played 15 minutes of this and I was like, are you serious? Like, Two Worlds? Do you remember that?
Oh my god,
Two Worlds.
I rented Two Worlds at a Blockbuster when it was going out of business, and I never had to return the game because the store closed.
Gosh.
And that game was like, it was one of those games where, like, I wish I could have returned it. Like, if it was possible for me to just, like, leave it on the doorstep or something and walk away. God, it was a terrible
game.
Why
was that not possible?
Because I don't think the 24-hour fitness that Blockbuster had turned into would appreciate it.
This is for the mayor.
That's true. I could just, like, kind of leave it there for you. Just, like, God, this.
You trade that in for a membership.
Right, right. What's the value of this right here? Two Worlds. Great game. There was another one that was like that, too. I'm thinking of, like, 99 Kingdoms or something like that.
Oh, 99 Nights.
99 Nights.
That one wasn't bad.
It fell into
a launch title for the 360.
Fell into that, like, there for a time was, like, just a bunch of games where, kind of Fable as an adult, where, like, you could, like, you were a knight in this, like, fantasy realm, and you got to, like, buy businesses and, like, own towns, but you never really got to do all of what they said you could do.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, there were, like, four or five games, and it was kind of, it wasn't as much a part of it, but like Knights of Amular or whatever, that baseball, baseball game, whatever. There was a lot of like knight-based video games that came out around that time, and it was just too much. It got too much, because you end up seeing it was like Two Worlds, where it was like, you didn't really put a lot of time into this, you just read somewhere that people like knight games.
Yeah.
Like that's, you just figured out you wanted to make a game like that.
There was some executive who's like, my kid likes
knights. Kids keep talking about Lancelot and knights and stuff. Go ahead and make one of those games.
Yeah, like orcs and shit.
Right, exactly. And then there was Overlord or whatever, which was without the minions, exact same thing as Two Worlds.
Then there was Knights of the Republic.
God damn it, dude. Look at that little piece of just silence right in the middle of this. Look at that. You did that.
There's evidence of just your fail right there.
So, did anyone else... Now, no spoilers. It seems to me that Star Wars The Force Awakens is basically like the prequel to Knights of the Old Republic. There's a chick... who is really good, right, who's really good with the Force. There's, like, a dude who wears a weird mask, who's, like...
Who looks like Revan.
Like, it seems like there's a lot of things coming together, and I'm waiting for her to turn on that lightsaber and it's yellow.
There's a double lightsaber.
Did you have a double lightsaber?
No, Vassal?
Oh, you're talking about that. I've never played Knights of the Old
Republic. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I was too busy playing
Get out. Get out.
Yeah, we're going to end this podcast.
We're going to go buy it right now, and you're going to play that game. Okay. Get it on a Steam sale. They usually sell the whole collection
probably
for
my
$5.
Favorite game is Knights of the Old
Republic. Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Old Republic 2 were, like, the best games ever made.
Gotcha.
I was just put a period on that. It's not even
the best games.
It is.
There's not even a comment.
It's not an opinion piece.
Nope.
No.
Nothing. You can argue.
It's on the Wikipedia page.
It's
the best games ever.
It's a locked page. You can't edit it.
Do a Google search. It just gives you one of those pre-prepared answers. Don't look further. We got this for you.
Who else had like the worst games ever played? Taryn, what's
I can't
yours?
Think of
Dude,
one.
Iron Man 2.
The
Shit.
Only thing I could think of that really sucked that made me not play any of the games ever again was the ending to Mass Effect 3.
Are you serious? Why did you hate it so much?
Dude, the rest of the games are totally fine.
Give me your 30-second elevator pitch on why it was so shitty.
The expectations that the ending of Mass Effect 3 would be varied and different. The expectations were there. They said that it was going to be... The ending could be anything that you want.
Did you get three choices there?
Pretty much, and they were the same color. They had a timeline, and the ending got leaked. So they went, we got to rewrite this ending, but we don't have the budget or the timeline to get all these varied endings that we promised everyone 10 years ago. So they made the same ending, changed the light scheme, and just released it and think, it's the end of the series. It doesn't matter. You've already bought the game. Doesn't matter.
So your theory is that because the game got leaked, they just hurried up and
published by EA.
Let's throw that in there.
Listen, EA is a fucking great company. You will show them respect in this house.
Okay? Your favorite game is their recently released Battlefront.
As long as they still make Madden, they're okay. They get to leave. When they stop with the Madden rights, fuck them. They can die. I don't care. But until then, they're okay. No, I hate Madden. EA's
so
garbage.
That's just the only thing I can think of that really made me.
I can see how that would be disappointing, because you're right. You did buy. You've already bought the game. There's no returning it.
And I played Mass Effect 1 three or four times. Mass Effect 2 three or four times. Mass Effect 3 once.
But Mass Effect 1 and 2 have the same endings.
Not really. There's different endings. And it carries over into future games, which is unheard of. That's never happened.
Yeah, I guess like character killings and stuff like carry over, and there's you can alter
and,
the way.
And that's hard to do, and that's a very fine line to make that carry between.
Okay,
games.
So what if instead of doing that, they just gave you a random grab bag? You don't get to pick the ending, but there's 1,000 of them.
That'd be fine. 1,000 different endings.
1,000 different endings. You don't get to pick a single one of them. It just depends.
The ending, whatever happens at the end, like, is not by your own doing. It's just
like there is a complicated algorithm that could tell you, like, you spent 3 days, you did this one mission four times over because you kept dying, and because of that, some planet was never resupplied, and because of that, this happened. Because of that, this happened, and then you get like, a completely random ending.
That'd be fine. What I would.
What if they were all shitty?
We do have a game where all the endings were shitty. Yeah. I would have rather had the game have one ending.
Like a predetermined ending?
Yeah, because that shows predeterminism. There's no such thing as chance or choice.
Absolutely. Is that, it's like, realistically, in the end, your choices don't matter. Yeah. We all die.
Yeah. Did anybody ever play Saints Row 1?
Yeah.
Saints Row 1 had a good, like, singular ending.
Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption. Well, yep. Fuck that game. That game sucked. That ending sucked. Were you fucking kidding me? I gotta listen to this asshole yell at my horse the whole time? It's your fucking father's horse. Show him respect. That man killed thousands of people on that horse, you jerk. Call him a nag. I'll fucking punch you. Shitty goatee. It's just so bad. I don't know. I fucking hated that. Whereas, like, I'll take the fact you can have John Marston die. I'm fine with that. But don't have his... fuck him, he's dead. It don't make the kid be the playable character after that. Just load the save before the game ends. And let me play as John Marston. Like,
about zombie John Marston in the zombie DLC?
Could have been a real John Marston as well. And then it doesn't matter. So, I mean, like, that's one of those things where, like, you could make the argument that, well, without him dying, you couldn't be zombie. Just don't make him a zombie. My answer to that would, okay, just play the
last. Well, I mean, because there's a message. But the thing is people still want to play that game after the ending. And I think the ending of, like, your past catches up to you
no matter what.
Is the pinnacle ending to that game. You just hate his kid.
I fucking hate the kid. I just fucking hate the kid. The ending, great. Storyline, phenomenal. I love the game. God, that kid's a dick. I just want to punch that kid. Like, I put him in the dandy boy outfit or whatever. He's got, like, a gray suit with, like, nice gloves on and shit. So he just looks like a dick. He looks like the oil baron's kid that has all the money where everybody's dirty in the saloon, and he shows up to play poker in, like, a full suit, like, checking his pocket watch and stuff.
He's Slytherin.
Right, he is. He absolutely just looks like he's just a... That brings up another question, though. Kylo Ren is a frat boy douche.
All right, let's save that for a different
podcast. I'm sorry.
Different talking about podcast.
He's a douche, right?
Different podcast.
All I'm saying is a direct quote from the movie is that he says, you know I can get whatever I want, right? What?
Which is pretty...
what?
Felt rapey.
We're not talking about Star Wars on this podcast.
We've all seen it twice within 24 hours, except for Brian.
You ever seen Tremors? I'm just gonna bring this up again. You ever seen Tremors? But yeah, I mean, the storylines are, I don't know. I've lost my thinking. I've lost my train of thought.
This is probably a good point to end it. Anyway,
Tremors, Minecraft,
Panic Room,
Forrest Whitaker.
And thus ends another episode of Monotony and Video Games, brought to you by PodcastLostInSpace.com, sponsored by Shiro Cosmetics, unofficially. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Please comment on either iTunes or on our website. We want as much feedback as possible. We want to get better at this, and we want to be entertained. We want to be able to just talk and deliver information and concepts and ideas. And if you have ideas of what you want us to talk about, we will listen if you just write us a comment. Follow me at Doc Von Derwin on Twitter if you want. I don't
do all that much on social media anymore. But stick to the website and stick to the podcast because they're a lot of fun and I enjoy doing them and they're free. And I think they're pretty funny. Do you think they're funny? Let us know in the comments. Am I funny? Will you accept me? I just feel like a shadow, an unnoticed being walking amongst all these living people, so colorful and vibrant, while I remain lower and dark and ever stretching out because as the sun sets. This analogy is getting really weird. Bye-bye.